You are listening to the podcast of Frontline Ministries International. We pray you will be empowered as you listen to this week's message.
We just want to say thank you to Cynthia and Darlene and their whole crew. Children, you were awesome. You were amazing. Wow, what a tribute to Jesus. Praise the Lord. This was great. Can we stand up and give them a great big thank you, a great big hand? Thank you, Jesus. Woo! So great. So great. Just loved it. The component with, it's not a component, it's the truth, with the world celebrating Jesus. So many nations. I was crying. It's just overwhelming to me, and I'm sure overwhelming to you. So beautiful to think of this in a larger perspective that Jesus thinks of. Did you want to say something?
We enjoyed working on this together. Darlene actually wrote everything, so she is awesome. She had a desire to put that on. So it's been fun just putting it together, and just as Pastor Mary Pat just said, this year we just really felt the desire to highlight the bigger picture of Christmas. Yes, it started obviously with Jesus in a manger, but as we've been saying in this house now for a long time, it didn't stop there. So it was fun incorporating the kids into that and just allowing them to express themselves, including learning about the different countries and what they do for Christmas. So God bless you and thank you, and we are excited to keep celebrating with you.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, the kids are going to come back in for just a few minutes, and then they're going to be released again, just so they can, they were all filtering out, and not sure if they were able to receive your praise. That's important, you know, for all of us to be able to know we're loved and to be appreciated and approved of, and that's really important. You know, when I saw the different nations being represented, I hadn't spoken with anyone from China today, but with all the other countries, I had been speaking as though people were in my backyard, you know, talking to them, WhatsApping, hey, what's going on, and telling, you know, hearing about what's happening in their world, and sharing what's going on here, and ongoing prayer requests, and just that continual relationship growing and building, and it was just so delightful to see the children also representing just the relationship, but also just a smattering of the countries. So this is great. Yeah, come on up, guys. We want you all to just come on up for a minute. Just come on up for just a second. Yeah, you were amazing. Just come on up for a minute. We just wanted to ask you just a quick question. Here, let me move this all down for you guys. So, so good. Do you guys have a lot of fun doing this?
Yes.
Yeah, I could tell. It was really a good time. This was a lot of fun. Yeah, come on up for just a minute. Because everybody wants to see you guys. This was so much fun. Well, maybe we can move a few things. Daddy, maybe you can. Can you? Well, you can sit in the second row, or you can sit on each other's laps, or you can sit right down on the floor. We're not going to spend a lot of time, but we just we want to say thank you to you guys. And Darlene, can you come up for just a second? Yeah. You know, usually when we're doing something for Christmas like this, it really touches my heart, touches Pastor Bill's heart, and your moms and dads and everybody here so much. And this year was the same thing. You got presents? You did? Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Oh good, I'm so glad. And your costumes were amazing. And I just want to ask a quick question to Darlene, because she wrote this and had all this help from everybody. But she had an idea from the Lord, and we like ideas from the Lord. And some of you had ideas last year about resurrection and Easter, things like that. And we're going to see what God's going to do for that. And this is a stepping stone to what God wants to do, I really believe. But I want to hear from Darlene, and I don't know if she ever told you what the Lord had told her about. Did she talk to you about that yet, about the different countries and the world and what Jesus has put on her heart for this presentation today? Did she talk to you about that? Probably a little bit. So I'm just going to ask you to say just a couple of things, because I was really touched by this, and every year we are. But you guys, listen to this for just a second, because this is about Jesus. It's about Jesus coming down, as you know, and you acted it out and saying it was so good. And involving the nations is a little unusual. Usually we don't see that in a lot of different Christmas programs. And this is cool to add this component, because this shows you how big Jesus is. So I'm just going to ask Darlene what the Lord put on her heart and how this developed, because I like to see ideas from God just grow, and that it grew in such a way that you could act it all out.
Well, I love Christmas, and I love all the traditional things that we do at Christmas. I'm a sucker for traditions and a sucker for the lights and the everything about it. But the past couple of years, I've just loved Christmas, just getting caught up in staring at a tree and just remembering why Jesus came, because he's the light of the world. And so this year, when I thought about Christmas for us, for you guys, and a lot of you guys have mom and dads that go overseas and tell people about Jesus, and we want you guys to do that too, and that one day you guys will all go overseas and you'll tell people about Jesus, because Christmas isn't really about the lights and the candy and the treats that we get or the presents that we get. That's all fun, but it's really about Jesus and what he's done for us. And this week, this wasn't involved in writing it, but this week there was a moment where one of my kids missed out on a fun Christmas event because they were sick. But then there was a time during the day when I just had worship music on and I felt the Lord's presence in our house. And I just thought, I would much rather have a sick kid at home experiencing the presence of God than going to a Christmas party. And I hope that that's what we all raise up our children to experience more and more, that it's not about the lights and the things and the whatever. It's about Jesus coming down and us being able to share that with our neighbors and the nations. So,
Darlene's not sharing something personal, which is fine. She did share it with me, or part of it. And it's really true. When our children, when you guys are really thinking about the Lord and his presence and why he came, oh my goodness. And he's with you, and he's not going away. He's with you. He's moving with you. He's following you. He's in you. He's upon you. He's wherever you go. That's so incredible. And you can dance before the Lord. You can sing around the Christmas tree, because it's a very joyful season, a very joyful occasion. And so when we celebrate Jesus and we say, he's not a baby in a manger anymore, that means we remember when he came down, and we remember that baby Jesus was put in a manger. And we, Pastor Bill and I, actually went to the very place that many think that Mary had baby Jesus. Mary and Joseph had Jesus. We went there in June. And I just stood in this place and I thought, God, if this is really the place, this is amazing. That means Mary had a baby in this general area. And she picked him up and put him in this little manger. And I just stopped and went, wow. So it wasn't just an idea. It wasn't a song. It really happened. And to actually be there in Israel, in Bethlehem, was amazing. And so for you to sing about these various countries, I agree with Darlene. We're hoping that each one of you gets stronger and stronger in your heart for the love of Jesus and what he's doing around the world. And I agree with her. That would be so great for all of you to be able to experience the joy of telling others about Jesus all around the world. That was a good word. Thank you for that. So this is an exciting time. I don't think you'll ever forget this. This is an amazing, amazing time. And you stood up there and you represented Jesus very well. I'm very proud of you. Can you guys come up, and everyone is just going to look at you and they're going to say, we love you. So come up here and stand next to me, everybody. All the babies, all the kids, everybody stand over here, okay? They're really proud of you, and we're just going to bless you too. So can you guys all put your hands out like this, okay? You too, you can bless them. That's really good. Anybody want to, Joseph or Judah, do you want to say something to them? Do you just want to bless them in Jesus' name, these people?
Lord, we thank you for these people and the kids that did this program, and we thank you for the real reason you came, because you love us, and to die. You actually came to die because you loved us. So we thank you for taking that off us, and we thank you for everyone here, that they would feel that impact and know that you died for them and that you love them so much to die for them. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Papa Bill, do you want to come up and pray for these guys? Proud of you guys. It's amazing. And the little animals, too. You're somewhere else, and that's okay. They're all eating lunch. Good thing. Good plan.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for each child here. We thank you, Jesus, for their hearts for Jesus. Lord, we bless them. We favor them in Jesus' name. We love each one of them so much. We pray that you would give them health and safety for their whole lives, Father. We thank you, God, that you have come to die for them. Many of them have received you, Jesus. And we just pray that their destiny is secure in you, taking the gospel to the nations, Father. We thank you, Lord, for everyone standing up here and anyone else that's somewhere else. We thank you, Jesus, for their precious lives. And God, they have so much joy along with that. Joy. And we just pray that would increase in their lives, that anything that they would face, joy would push it out of their hearts and their lives, and they could encounter Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bless them. Favor them in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Can we give them a big cheer? Woo! You guys are great. Amen. And guys, our Jesus came to die, and then he raised from the dead, so he's alive. He's alive. Jesus is alive. Who of the children wants to shout that out in the microphone? That Jesus is alive. You want to say that, Lijah?
Jesus is alive.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus is alive.
Jesus is alive.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else wants to say it?
Jesus is alive.
Amen. Anybody else? Okay, praise the Lord. You can go to your classes now. Good job. Amen. Jesus is alive. Praise the Lord. You can go. That's so cute. Oh, to have little girls. Praise the Lord. Thank you all for coming. I know that we're going to gather again on Christmas Eve. It won't be a very long service. This is the time when we have everyone here, and it's a very intimate time with family. I'm not downsizing it, downplaying it, but we know that you have many things that you need to be doing on Christmas Eve as well. But if you can make it, it would be wonderful. We'll have our candlelight service starting, I think, at 6, ending around 7-ish. So please come if you can. So God bless you. We had many outreaches this week. We were in various places that children aren't in here. We had gentlemen's clubs that we were in. Another word for that, you know what it is. So we were there this week and had a big feast in one of the places. It was really dynamic, very powerful. Many people, some of the gals were crying, and the guys as well. We made headway And we have goals, you know, going in and making, developing relationship, but also seeing what happens after that. The afterglow is what we're looking for, but you have to go. So we were in, and it was really powerful. We're not going to show pictures or anything tonight, today, but really a step forward in the relational building, not just with the managers, not just with the male workers there, but also the female workers. And it was really strong. And to have people run up to you and know you by name and just say, wow, you're here again. And to be able to give Christmas gifts as well as in all places, and then a feast in another one. Just, it was remarkable. They were stunned with the love. And it was for everybody, for all the patrons, not just the people who are working. It was for everybody. So it really touched them. When they had tragedy last year, there were two suicides this past year. And so this really, in the one place that we go to, and we were there during a celebration for one of a kind of a funeral celebration, and another one we heard about. So really strong, but we were able to be part of the grieving with people and the celebrating with people and be able to hear their hearts and to hear what they were feeling and be able to release hope to people. It was just really incredible and amazing. So I thank you for the team, and I thank you for all that who have supported this venture. God is moving. He's moving powerfully. And then on Friday night, the next night, there was a team that went out led by Cynthia and Lawrence and their group, their family, and a group of five or six of you that took others Christmas shopping that weren't able to be part of the gift of Christmas physically. So they spent the evening with them, and it was glorious, and have pictures of that too, which we're not showing right now. But we're so grateful to you, all of you who have such a go in your heart to be able to go out and find the people, find the lost ones, minister to the hurting and the broken. So we just praise God for you. Thank you. So we do go around the world. We do go to many nations, and we do have ongoing relationships with them. And they're celebrating as we are celebrating here. So we'll see if we're able to show some video and pictures on Christmas Eve. We'll see how that works. We don't have them today from what they've experienced or what they're experiencing in this week. We'll see. So thank you for your support for the ones here and around the world. And just to let you know that we're very proud of you. We know that this is a very busy season and a very sometimes challenging season emotionally for some who have had to face loss again or for the first time or a reminder of loss. And so not everything is cookies and ringing the bells. Sometimes there's a lot of pain that starts to surface. And I believe in this place, in this church, in this ministry, that you are extremely sensitive to that. And I thank you for that. I see it. I feel it. And others do too. So thank you for being the hands and feet of Jesus here and around the world. We're very pleased to be family with you, do family life with you, and it just makes a big difference. So thank you for drawing into that. And may everyone here just be filled with a supernatural baptism of love. Just really believe that when that is lacking, there's always room for the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy, and to bring thinking that needs to be touched by the Lord or offense, things like that. The enemy works that way, and he works strongly, especially if he knows there's a hope and a future that's so brilliant for you, and that involves love. So be aware of that. And as we lay down ourselves before the Christ child who was born in a manger, and we take those steps these next few days, remember that when we lay ourselves down that way, the Lord is freer to just baptize us, immerse us in a tank of love that just knows no end. And you can do that yourself simply, and I can pray right now, but simply by just saying, Lord, I'm opening myself up to you, and I thank you for your great love, and I thank you that you are saturating every place in my heart with a surge of supernatural love. Baptize me, immerse me in your love. I need a fresh baptism of love. So, Father, I just thank you for that word right now that you're laying on my heart. And I thank you for this group, this family, this company of people who come here, who serve here, who love here, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for a fresh baptism of love, to be able to fill those places that so need your supernatural touch. Father, that through this fresh, fresh wave that just is permeating this place right now and just sending messages of love, and love himself is touching and just releasing into those broken places, into those places of confusion, into those places maybe of offense, into those places of thinking that is not appropriate, not what you're saying in heaven. Father, that you're touching those areas with your love. And your love is the greatest power there is. So we thank you, Father, for your powerful love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you that our thinking will be your thinking, that our thoughts will be your thoughts. Remove anything that doesn't match up with what you say love is or love looks like, what you say. Same for our hearts, our emotions, God. Especially this time of year. Father, if we're walking on a path that is not the lighted path that you have, apprehend us right now with that gentle hug and say, no, sweetie, no, no, son, this is the way. This is the way. Help us with our will. Saturate our will, Lord, with your fresh, fresh baptism of love. Saturate our wills right now, that our will would be pliable and easy and not stubborn, not filled with pain, not filled with anything other than the fresh manna of heaven right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the fresh baptism of love. Shower us right now. Wave after wave after wave, Holy Spirit, just come. Wave after wave after wave. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Touch our emotions that they would become healthy and strong and vibrant. Thank you, Lord. Strengthen us in the inner man according to your word in Ephesians 3:16. Strengthen us right now and remove any blockages or hindrances to that love that came down, that love just being released and shed abroad in our hearts. Thank you, Lord. Like a little child, we receive that fresh baptism of love right now. Thank you, Lord. Nothing is more important than that. Nothing. Nothing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the sweet rest in our soul right now. Sweet rest. Thank you, Lord. Sweet rest. 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 Thank you for this powerful love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy One. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. We bless your name. And Father, we thank you that as we near the end of 2019, that you will finish your work in each one of us for this year, God, and that we would be apprehended by this great love that produces results. And we thank you, Lord, for your heavenly touch in each one of our physical bodies right now, that those who have been hurting, those who have been sick, those who have been diseased, those who have been in process, right now, because of your powerful love, right now, there's a release and a great exchange that took place at the cross. Thank you for your resurrection power touching each body physically from the top of their heads all the way down to their feet. Thank you, Lord. Run through each physical body right now in your mighty name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Physical healing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you all. And Pastor Bill, Papa Bill has a message, and somebody's trying to reach me. Amen. It's probably overseas.
Father, we thank you. You've already touched our hearts this morning. Now, Father, I pray that you would continue to speak to us through Holy Spirit. We're here. We're ready. Father, we're listening. We want to hear directly from you, not just the preacher's voice, but your voice, the presence. The voice of the presence. Father, we pray that each heart will be open to what you have to say. That this won't be a Christmas message. This will be a message from your heart to each heart. Thank you, Jesus. We give you all the praise. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. I love little kids doing Christmas programs. I don't think anyone can make a cow look better than a child. So cool. Well, you know, this is the season when we think about Jesus coming the first time. But don't you kind of get the feeling, you know, 2019, it didn't really bring up that he's coming again, but 2020, doesn't that just kind of like, he's coming again? He's not just, didn't just come the first time and that's it, it's over, that's his only visit to earth. He's going to come again. And every person here will see him some way or another, you know, whether they see him face to face at the pearly gates, so to speak, in heaven, in his presence, or you will see him come to the earth, and you will see him in the clouds before he reaches the earth. Think of that. He's coming again. He's not coming as a baby this time. He's going to come in full power, glory, resurrection power. He's going to look like he really looks. When he came to the earth, he was a baby, and everyone had to, you know, view him as a baby to start out with. And maybe some thought, how in the world could this baby fulfill all these prophecies that have been spoken over him? How in the world could this little child do that? How could any of these children fulfill these big prophecies we pray over them? Some thought it was ridiculous. Some wanted to kill him as a baby. The threat of what he might become. Some wanted to kill him and use wise men to lead the way to him. But the wise men were wiser than the ones trying to kill him. I remember being in college and I went home for the summer and I received Jesus and I went back to college. And I had three unbelieving roommates. And I told them ahead of time, two of them I knew and one of them was a new guy. I said, I've got something to tell you when I get back to school. We were going to live together in a four-man room in the dorm. Big area. Lots of living space. And I thought, I better let them know where I stand because it's going to be, come on, come to this party. Hey, let's go have fun over here. And I'd left that behind that summer, although I wasn't a real partier. I was more of a studier. So I went back, let them know I was coming with something that happened to me that summer. So they all sat down, even the new guy, and they were like, what? What happened? I barely put down my suitcase, and they wanted to know what happened to me. So I explained to them I had met Jesus over this summer, that I had been in a Bible study for the first time in my life that I paid attention, and that he had transformed me, and everything was different. And I said, oh, Gok, what are you doing? What do you want to do that for? Two of them went to church faithfully every Sunday. Ah, oh, what do you want to do that for? And the other guy, the new guy, he was just confused. Like, what am I getting myself into here? He was a freshman. He decided to take Russian his first semester. And he thought he was a pretty tough guy. He's coming into a room with three upperclassmen. You know, we were sophomores. So he came in, you know, and he's got to show his stuff. So he's flexing all the time and taking Russian first semester. And I started talking to him. He started asking me questions about Jesus. He said, what was his Bible study? I said, it was the second coming of Jesus Christ. That was the first Bible study ever was in. The second coming of Jesus Christ. For the summer, it was a summer Bible study, and I joined this Bible study, and I'm like, wow, he came to me, he's real, I know he is, I bent my knee to him, I know he's changing my life, and now he's coming again, any minute, was the way I felt in 1972. Now that it's 2020, it's closer. And it just seems much closer with 2020. It's got to be right around the corner that he's coming again. Are we ready for that? For him to come again? So I started explaining to this freshman, Russian, taking muscle guy, always lifting weights, about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And he started asking questions. And the more questions he asked, he started to quake in his boots. Because the Holy Spirit was speaking to him in conviction. That's his job, you know, to convict us. In fact, I'm hoping he convicts every person in this room this morning, me included. That's his job. And so he came to this young man and he convicted this guy, the guy trying to show his stuff to all of us. He said to me, please, he's backing up, don't talk to me about this again. I don't want to talk about this subject. He was totally afraid of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Just by talking to him what little I knew from that Bible study. I didn't know up from down being a Christian, but I gave him my testimony. It was, you know, about 2 months old, maybe, in the Lord. And then I told him what I knew about the second coming of Jesus Christ, what I learned that summer. He was shaking in his boots about the second coming. The thing is, we should be shaking in our boots about the first coming. Because we're so used to the Christmas story that we kind of think it's something that's not even real, almost. We say we want to, you know Jesus in this season and so on, but when the Christmas story is laid out for us, it almost sounds like a fairy tale or a fable. Or it's not really real, those decorations that we see of the Nativity. Oh. That's a nice kind of fairy tale. I mean, we don't say that to ourselves, but we start to Get used to it, if nothing else. We're so used to it. Oh, and Jesus is the reason for the season. And we, you know, maybe say no to some of the things of the world and what they go after at this time. The parties and the fun and the, you know, the different view of Christmas. You know what it is. But maybe we've gotten so used to the nativity scene and to what happened in his first coming that we don't really shake in our boots. But when Jesus came down to earth, it shook the earth the first time. It was the darkest point in human history, some have said. The darkest point. Israel was under an oppressor at the time. It was darkness, spiritual darkness throughout the earth. No one really understood the Messiah, when he would come. They prayed for him to come. He hadn't come. They're under this oppressor. When will he come and release us from this oppressor? They thought earthly thoughts about the Messiah coming. So when he came in as a baby, it was like incognito. They didn't expect that. He just slipped into Earth's atmosphere kind of quietly. Silent night. You know the song. It was just kind of like slipped in the form of a baby with people that were unknown to anyone. Mary, possibly a teenager. Joseph, a carpenter, just a worker. Slipped in to humanity quietly. Why? Because he's so powerful, he doesn't have to come in with a great big fanfare. But it shook the earth. Maybe we can put the quote up there before I forget it. When Jesus entered earth, supernatural actually goes after encounters. When Jesus entered earth's atmosphere, supernatural encounters exploded from heaven to earth. They exploded off the charts. What is supernatural encounters? It's when we know God is right there and we somehow have to deal with him. And there are people having those in our day. If you're not having those, there could be something that you're missing. And so when he crashed into Earth's atmosphere, supernatural counters started to pop. Boom, bam, 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 bam. And we're so used to hearing this. By the way, this is an account in the Bible, not a story. The Christmas story, don't call it that, would be my suggestion. Call it the Christian account. This is the account of what actually happened. And we are the journalists reading through this, you know, to see if these things are so. And as you read it, you are convinced that they are. This really happened. He slipped into human history, but encounters just exploded everywhere. So I'm going to pass out a sheet, and I want you to make sure you answer the first question before you look down through the sheet. I know you can do it. Look at this. People just come right up and start passing. I love it. If you need a Bible, we will have one delivered to you. If you raise your hand, in case you want to look at these passages that we'll talk about. And by the way, long notes, short message, I hope. Can't guarantee, but long notes, short message. You have the notes, so you don't need me to talk about them. You can study them at any time. But I do want to point out some things in these notes. So the main personalities that were in the Christmas account. Mary, Joseph, Zacharias, Elizabeth. Mary and Joseph were married. Zacharias and Elizabeth were married. Jesus, of course. John, the Baptist. Later known as John the Baptist. Shepherds. Simeon, who was at the temple. Anna at the temple. Wise men who showed up. And the wicked Herod. One thing you need to maybe correct in your nativity scene, throw the wise men out. They weren't there on the night that Jesus was born. They came a couple years later. But we, you know, in our tradition, we put everybody right there together. And it's okay. You know, there's no time with God, so throw out a couple years of Jesus' life and just put them all together. So you'll see the headings, Revelation, Encounters, Prophecy from the Old Testament Fulfilled, the presence of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the people that were involved, and the godly character of the main personalities. Let's start with the godly character. Do you know what increases encounters, I believe, is being positioned to receive them? And that is, you're aligned with God. If you've never been born again, your encounter with Jesus is going to start with being born again. And that's no small encounter. That's a major league encounter. Everything changed in my life, well, to one degree. It's been changing ever since. But when I was born again, so many things changed in my life. What about you? Was it just a prayer and nothing changed? You better think about that one. It should be transforming. Things should shake. We've had people tell us in this ministry, well, I've already prayed that prayer, but nothing really happened to me. We said, you need to pray again. And the person in question prayed again. They couldn't move. They were stuck on the spot. And they, you know, they had an encounter with Jesus when they prayed to be born again, and their heart was open to it. They couldn't move. God just had them stick there. Now, maybe that didn't happen to you. It doesn't have to happen. It doesn't have to happen to you. Something else happened to you. I'm just talking about this one person. They thought nothing was going to happen. They declared it. Oh, nothing will happen when if I pray this prayer with my whole heart. Yes, it will. And God backed it up. They were stuck, and they couldn't move. That was a person here in Ohio. It was a person in Ghana. Same thing happened. He wanted to receive, he was a Muslim, he wanted to receive Jesus in a back alley. Could we go to the back alley? It had been 2 or 3 years we'd been sharing with him. Finally, he knew he needed Jesus. He had come to the sites and he had told other people, no, don't listen to these people. No, no, no. And then things started happening in his life. Negative things. And he came a little more sober and he didn't shout down our presentations of the gospel. He came to listen. And eventually he says, can we go in the back alley? Can I? Because people know me here. Can we go in the back alley and receive Jesus? Kind of like Nicodemus coming at night to talk to Jesus. He was one of the Pharisees, and he didn't want anybody to know, so he came at night to talk to Jesus. This guy wanted to go in the back alley. Can we go in the back alley, and I'll receive Jesus? Well, actually, we'll just surround you here, and you'll just receive Jesus right here. Right here. We'll surround you. You know, if you're worried about people, we'll just make a little, like a little cave around you. But you need to receive. And he said, well, that's not a problem because my feet are in cement. I can't move. I can't even get to the back alley. I am stuck. And as we prayed and he received Jesus, he couldn't move to the back alley. He had to stay right there. And people saw it. From his community, that he had received Jesus. He had renounced Islam and now was a believer in Jesus. God's still doing encounters today. You're going to know it. If you have a born-again experience, you're going to know it. It's not going to be like, well, I prayed and nothing happened. Man, you need to pray again. I'm telling you. You need to pray again. Because God is too powerful for there not to be something happen to you. Either you have a sense of overwhelming peace. Either you start crying on the floor and you can't get up for an hour. I heard of one guy who was crying so much at the front of the church, they moved him to a room. He was crying so desperately for Jesus. They laid him on some kind of a desk or something. He's still crying. He's still wanting more of God. They took him out to his car. That's his born-again experience. So being born again is not some little prayer and, oh, maybe he's in, maybe he's out. No, you'll know that he's in because it's encounter. I just love saying that. Because it's the truth. When it's holy God entering into us, are you kidding? Nothing's going to happen. Nothing. No big deal. He's going to make our spirit come alive when it's been dead. Nothing's going to happen. Are you kidding me? Well, I received him when I was a kid. I'm relying on that. I wouldn't. I just received my baptismal certificate, and I was wrong all these years. My official baptism certificate, one of my relatives sent it to me in a Christmas card this week. I was 11 years old. I thought I was 13. Now I have documentation that I can change my testimony and that I've lied to people for years. 11 years old, I was baptized. Did it make a change in me? No. I was saved at 5, apparently near 11, because I know in the Baptist church, man, they baptize you right away if they can. So it was somewhere near 11, received him again. Nothing really happened. But at 19, that's why I said I was born again. He entered in. I knew it was him. I started understanding the scriptures. Woo! What is this? I'm understanding this. How can that be? Because Holy Spirit actually was able to get a hold of my heart because I was actually opening to him, not following what a church said is good to do, which is awesome. Those steps were important. I bless God for that church. And Reverend Halter, I remembered his name after seeing his signature on my baptismal certificate. They got me started on a path that led to me being born again. But people that walk around for years saying, yeah, I did that prayer. I did that prayer. I did that prayer. No, you didn't. If nothing really happened in your life, if you aren't just rabid after Jesus in some way, shape, or form. Now, the enemy's going to come after you, and maybe you go through a season of ups and downs, but you want to go after him. You can't stop. You have to go after him. Because the Holy Spirit is actually inside if you're truly born again. And he wants out to explode in love on the world. Do we go overseas because we get points? We get points with God for going to China, Mozambique, Ghana, Philippines, India, Brazil. We get points? Is that why we go? No, we're compelled by the love of Jesus. We get no points for that. There's no, points that you're looking for that. It's because he's inside and he wants to explode on the outside and you go, okay, I want to explode here. People say, well, stay here. There's enough needs here. He's big enough to take care of all the needs here and overseas through his powerful disciples. So we're not going to put a limit on, a geographical limit on where we go. Born again means transformed. It's an encounter with God. There's no way it can be business as usual. I love that about God. He's going to make it evident to us. He might slip in as a baby, but when he slips in our lives through Holy Spirit, things happen. You're now hooked up to the 220 volts, and you're not the same. So anyone figure out who had the most supernatural encounters in the Christmas account? Okay. Mary, that's a good choice. The shepherds, that's a good choice. Who? I didn't hear. Who said that? Oh, I didn't see it. Joseph had the most. What? Joseph? He's like the quiet guy. Wait and see. Wait and see. I wish I had his dream life. Joseph is the one. And then I assume, yeah, think about it. John, after. I guess I just thought about this particular time frame, but John would have woo, some good stuff after this time frame. So what's this revelation thing about? These are some, I don't know if I covered them all, of the revelations that people got along the way as the Christmas account played itself out. You look at these. The names of Jesus and John were revealed before they were born. They were revealed to Zacharias, kind of Elizabeth, while Zacharias was mute, also said his name will be John. So maybe it was revealed to her, unless he wrote it out for her before they asked her what the baby's name was going to be. Because they were going to call all the people in the village. I don't know why. It probably happens to couples here. But all the people in the village had their say about what the name of the baby was going to be. If you read this. And they all said, Zacharias. And they both said no. And as soon as he wrote out it was going to be John, he could speak again. Remember, he was struck mute because he was in unbelief after having an encounter with an angel and a big-time angel, Gabriel. And he was in unbelief. Like, wait a minute, we're too old for this. He couldn't talk. Now, that's not going to happen to the pastors here, so you can quit praying. Mary and Joseph both knew that his name was going to be Jesus. Elizabeth's pregnancy was revealed to Zacharias before she was pregnant, and that's when he was struck mute because he didn't believe it. She's too old. I'm too old. John's destiny was revealed to Zacharias. Who was the son going to be? And the angel told him that. Mary's supernatural pregnancy was revealed to her before it took place. Now, see, we read through this and go, well, that's the Christmas account, of course. These are things we're contending for. Knowing things of God before they happen. Having encounters with God. You know, when you hear this word around here, we want you to be in the presence. We want you to be overcome by the presence of God. It's about the encounter with the presence that we're talking about. So that you can be led in your life like these people were. So that I can be led in my life like these people were. Let's not take this for granted. Jesus' destiny was revealed to Mary. She knew what was on him before he was born, what was going to happen with his life. And she pondered those things in her heart and believed before they ever happened in this child's life. So you remember at the wedding of Cana, she's appealing to him to start his ministry because she knows what's coming. She's appealing to him, and he goes, "Woman, it's not my time." But because of her desire, it became his time within just a few minutes. Incredible. Some real meat there to go over. Mary was told of Elizabeth's pregnancy before she saw Elizabeth and visited Elizabeth. You know, they didn't have cell phones. You know, probably weren't really good at carrier pigeons. So she went to visit her because she was pregnant, but she knew ahead of time that she was pregnant. And Elizabeth, I don't think, sent an invitation. "Come see me, I'm now pregnant." She just shows up because she knew she was pregnant. Because she was told by the angel Gabriel. Gabriel speaks to Zacharias. He speaks to Mary. He sent the big guns. When you're an angel and you have a name, there's something special about you. Joseph was told to marry Mary. I love that. Because she had conceived by the Holy Spirit and that Jesus would save his people from their sins. Now, think about what this really is. When they show up and an angel reveals this, but it's like, "Oh yeah, by the way, your son, he's going to save the sins of the world. He's going to save everyone from their sins." And you sit there and go, "I have something to do with this? I'm in this? I have to make the right moves to fit in with this? I heard about Zacharias. He got struck mute. What's going to happen to me if I don't cooperate with the Holy Spirit?" They were in holy fear of God. And as they go through this, people that heard about it, they were in holy fear of God. So Jesus might have slipped into the world kind of quietly, but everything around him was going crazy with encounter and people getting the fear of the Lord and preparing all the people of that day for their Messiah. It wasn't like he slipped in and, "Oh, that's not fair. How's everybody supposed to know who you are?" Because everybody around the situation was having encounters. It was blowing up. Quiet with Jesus, explosive with everyone else. Joseph received step-by-step instructions in Matthew 2 on where he should lead the family away from danger and into safety. Could he do that with your family? Maybe from flu season? Angels revealed the birth of Jesus to the shepherds. He revealed the place of the birth. Revealed who he was to the shepherds. Shepherds! They're out in the field minding their own business. And an angel shows up. Now, this is the darkness. And you've got an angel from heaven entering into Earth's atmosphere, into the darkness of Earth. To shepherds. They're not expecting this. You know, it wasn't like, the angel came to the temple. It's a field in the middle of nowhere. Why these particular shepherds? He comes in and reveals who Jesus is, the place of his birth, so they can show up on time. You know, the birth is going to happen, and then, you know, before long, other events could happen, and they wouldn't show up on time. The angel reveals it to them so they can be part of things. They represent, don't they represent us? We're just people, not special. And he enters in an encounter with an angel. and gives them specific instructions on what to do. Wouldn't you? I mean, don't you want some of that? Don't you want instructions on what to do next month? Beginning of 2020? What am I supposed to do with my life? I'm going to take a fresh look. I'm not going to make those New Year's resolutions, but I'm going to take a fresh look. It's a new decade, for heaven's sakes. Let's take a fresh look. What could happen in this next decade with my life, with you, God? These guys were led a step at a time. Simeon, he was told that he would not die until he saw the Lord's Christ. He's at the temple waiting around, praying, contending, believing, wants the consolation of Israel, wants Jesus to come, the Messiah to come to Israel. Shows up right in front of him. And he's able to prophesy over them, the Mary, Joseph, and the baby. He's been waiting for decades for the encounter with the living God right in front of him. Messiah. And he shows up. And Anna never leaves the temple. She's praying. She's fasting. She's contending with God. And she gets in on it too. The character of these people were they were positioned for encounter. They wanted what God wanted, and so they were positioned for encounter. How many of you have met someone and they say, well, yeah, I had some strange thing happen in my past. Okay, tell me about it. And you listen to it and you go, wow, that was God kind of tapping that person on the shoulder. Hey, you could have this continue in your life. But it was a one-time event with them. Why? Because they would not align with heaven. They would not align with God's heart. They wanted to do something on their own, do their own plan. I want to make my own mistakes. I don't want God to lead me. I want to make my own mistakes in life. I want to do what I want to do. So that tap on the shoulder never turned into an arm through an arm and a walk through life. Having more encounters, having more things happen in their life that they could attribute to God coming in and giving them wisdom and giving them direction and so on. That's what he wants for each person. But if he taps you on a shoulder with an encounter, you're supposed to say, yes, Lord. Many of these people had to obey their encounter. And you just see it. And Joseph obeyed the angel. And Joseph obeyed the angel. And Mary stepped into what she had to do. You know, it's all here. They obeyed after they had the encounter. That's what's supposed to happen to a person. God is wanting to encounter every person. I believe he taps each person on the shoulder and says, do you want this to continue? Here's a little foretaste of what could happen in your life on a pretty consistent basis. You could have an ongoing conversation with Holy Spirit. You could have ongoing encounters with me. Not just a salvation encounter, but life-changing encounters. The Magi, they had a special one, a star. You know, there were guys that looked at the stars. Huh. Looks okay tonight. You know, go back out. Hey, something's different. There's a real bright one. Looks like it's on the horizon. And it's going like this. I've never seen a star do that. And so they go, okay, and we don't know how many there were. You know, traditionally we say three because there were three gifts, but we don't know how many there were, but they just... For a long distance, they were from a different country. They weren't from Israel. And they just start, camels or not, they're following this star. And then they go to Jerusalem, which, you know, we were just there in June, and Bethlehem is just outside Jerusalem. It's not, it's not that far, at least by car. I don't know, by camel. And so, you know, they go to Jerusalem and they go to the leader, the government leader. Hey, we saw this star and blah, 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 and they give the story. And Herod's like, what? Somebody could come after my throne? It's a baby. But he is heard. Because he's in what? He's in Israel. He has heard. There's a Messiah on the way. He's going to thump you, man. He's powerful. He's going to thump you. He's going to come from heaven to earth and thump the socks off you, man. Well, maybe a little stronger than that. But and so he's like, I know how to take care of that. Kill him while he's a baby. So he listens. Hey, when you go out there to Bethlehem, which you have the prophecy for there in Matthew 2:6, you have the prophecy that you've told me from the Old Testament. Hey, when you go there, let me know the way because I want to go and worship him. Are you hearing that in the world today? Oh, you know, get done with a touchdown and little point to heaven. And then after they're done, point to the bank account instead. You know, a little cross here and a cross there and different things of athletes and the entertainment world wears the crosses. A lot of people wear the crosses. Have they had the encounter with Jesus? This is Herod. I just want to come and worship him. He wanted to kill him. So the Magi, they're led on to Bethlehem, to the very spot, by a star. Now, you know, the star is going like this, then it stops and it goes. And they end up at the manger. I mean, how does a star lead you right to the spot? But somehow, supernaturally. And they bring gifts for the true king of the earth. As a baby, what revelation did they have to travel all that way to realize that star is not natural, that's supernatural. And this is a supernatural person. And we need to humble ourselves as magi, as leaders from another country. It's the nations represented at the birth of Jesus. And they had the revelation. And then they have an encounter with an angel. And the angel says, don't go back to Herod. Don't go back to Herod. Don't go back to Herod. You go by a different way to back to your country. They didn't go back to Herod. They were supposed to report back to Herod. And they didn't. And as soon as they leave, in Matthew, as soon as they leave, Joseph starts having dreams with angels speaking to him. Joseph has four encounters. He has the encounter where you're supposed to marry Mary. This is me. It's Jesus. He's going to save the people from their sins. Don't worry about what this means. Marry her. It's supernatural. And he goes, okay, he obeys. Shame on both of them from the society. And he obeys. He trusted the supernatural encounter over what people were saying to him. Can you do that? Can I do that? When we have a supernatural encounter, it is truly God, not something we say, well, I think it's God. It might be God. I like it because it appeals to my flesh. So maybe it's God. No, you know. You're aligned with heaven. Your life is aligned with heaven. And you know you're hearing right from God. It's a supernatural encounter from God. Do you still obey what that encounter says to do when everyone else says, what are you doing? What have you done, Joseph? Why is she pregnant? Why is she in that condition? And you're marrying her now? You were betrothed and now you're marrying? Oh, we get it. Mm-hmm. Trying to make it right, are you, Joseph? All that's not in the Bible, but that was the society they lived in, of course. Shame is brought on the ones receiving such encounters from God that it would blow people's minds, and it did, when anyone told anybody about it. Read it. So these encounters, we already mentioned Zacharias. He has an encounter with Gabriel. Mary, Gabriel comes to her as well. She ends up magnifying the Lord under the power of the Holy Spirit because she was led by the Holy Spirit. If you read down presence of the Holy Spirit, Mary's on the list. The Holy Spirit was giving her the words to give back to God in praise and glory. Don't we want that? Do you just want your own words of praise? I don't know about you, but mine seem kind of weak. But when they're empowered by the Holy Spirit, and I lead worship up there, and I know Holy Spirit is on me at the moment I'm leading worship, I also know when he's not. And I have to figure out why. Is it me? Is it my soul holding up the work of your Spirit? Is my body so tired I'm giving into the tiredness and I'm not giving into the strength of the Spirit to lead worship tonight? All those things worship leaders go through, people on the worship team go through in order to lead us in worship. They have to fight through for encounter with God to lead worship to the place it really needs to go to give it to God. And then live it out when they go out the door because the enemy wants to take them out. Remember, Satan was a worship leader. And he was taken out by his own desires of the flesh to be honored. That happens to every worship leader. They can be taken out by that desire to be honored. So Elizabeth, Mary greets, baby leaps. Mary shows up under the power of the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit moving inside of her body to create Jesus. And the Spirit in Elizabeth, look at the list down under presence of the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth's listed there. She's under the power of the Holy Spirit. And the baby inside of her is under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And boom, all that coming together like that with Mary showing up to see Elizabeth, the baby leaps inside. This is what I've been waiting for. This is the one I'm going to announce. Wow. Cool stuff. Like three encounters in one encounter. Boom. So don't just take that, oh, that's cute. The baby did a little leap. Oh, they do that, you know. No, this was supernatural leap. Supernatural leap. Maybe, you know, like Elizabeth went with the leap. The baby leaped and Elizabeth's like, you know, it's supernatural.
Whoa, wait a minute. Settle down.
I think I'm making my point. Joseph, the angel, appears in a dream, tells him to marry Mary. Angel appears in a dream and tells him to take the family and flee to Egypt. Angel appears in a dream and tells him to return the family to Israel. God warns him in a dream to go to Galilee and live in Galilee, and he ends up living in Nazareth. Galilee is a long ways from Bethlehem. It took us a couple hours to get near Nazareth by car. So this is a journey to get away from Jerusalem, away from trouble, away from difficulty. Herod died, but his son took over. Never know what the son's going to do. So the angel told him, told Joseph exactly what to do each step. Avoid Herod, go to Egypt. Oh, time to come back from Egypt. Okay, stay away from Jerusalem and Bethlehem and go and live in Galilee. And they settle in Nazareth, which is prophesied. I want that kind of leading for my life. Don't you want that for your life? Do you think that's impossible? Oh, these are famous Bible people. They got led by the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us all the time. The Holy Spirit had to come on them, sometimes left them back in those days. We have the Holy Spirit the whole time if we're born again. He comes in. He wants to lead us, direct us, speak to us, give us encounters. We already talked about the shepherds, Simeon, Anna, Magi. There's some of the prophecies of the Old Testament fulfilled just in these passages. It's Matthew 1 and 2 and Luke 1 and 2. You can see the people undergoing the presence of the Holy Spirit. And what opened them up to all of these things? They already were trying to find alignment with God and with heaven. So a person just walking in here and saying, hey, I want to get in on part of that stuff where, you know, people are here from the Holy Spirit and I want the Holy Spirit to lead my life and I want some encounters. I want to hear from Holy Spirit. Do they necessarily qualify walking in the door? No. They have to have a heart to be lined up with heaven in their life in order to have these kinds of encounters happen with them. Because if they don't know Jesus in a born-again way, he's come in, he's brought in Holy Spirit, he's transformed them, their encounter, as I mentioned before, is being born again. They might have some interesting things where God taps them on the shoulder to let him know, let the person know that he's real, he's powerful, he's amazing. They might have been saved out of a terrible auto accident without a scratch. They know it's God. Yeah, he does that before you're born again. But that's the tap on the shoulder to say, don't you want to know me? I can keep you from being smashed in an automobile when that was impossible, and you know it is because you were part of that. That's me. I'm calling you back to my heart. I'm calling you to me. I want to give you ongoing encounters, ongoing relationship. I want to speak to you on a daily basis. I want to lead you. That's the way he is. And he was that way at the first time Jesus showed up, and he wants to increase it in the last days. If these are the last days before Jesus shows up again for the second coming on the earth, in Joel 2 and Acts 2, he says it's going to increase. More dreams, more visions. It's going to fall on young and old. He wants to communicate with his people to get them ready, just like he did these people. For his first coming, before he came, while he was coming, and afterwards, he led them. He gave encounters to all parts of society so that they knew what was going on, and he kept his promise safe away from the evil one. He wants to do that with us. Don't wait for 2020. Start now. Let him take a hold of your heart in a special new way. Encounter him even as you encounter the scriptures. As you walk out today, you can encounter him. You can come before him and say, God, you know what? I've taken all this Christmas story, even though I wanted to have Jesus raised up in Christmas, I've kind of taken it for granted. I need a new encounter with you. I need to hear from you in a special way in this season, even in the craziness of this season, with all the family gatherings and the shopping and so on. I know you can break through, because it was the darkest days of history back when Jesus came in. And that just made it easier for them to hear. Do you know in chaos, you can hear Jesus very clearly? Because he knows it's chaos for you, for me. And he wants to speak so clear and just get right through all that mess right to us. Right through all that busyness right to us. Right through the most difficult moments right to our heart with laser precision. That's just his love, his grace for us. He doesn't wait until things calm down. I don't know about your life. My life has not calmed down since I became born again. If I'm waiting for a season where it's going to get calmer so I can hear him better, and I'll go on a little retreat, and I'll do. Well, that might happen here and there. But I hear him in the craziness of life. Someone will call with a need, and I'm like, I don't know what to say. I start talking to them, and I go, I didn't come up with that. I didn't even think about that. Lord, I'm on holy ground. Please forgive me. I'm such a wretch. How in the world can this be coming out of me? 5 minutes ago, I was too busy, or I was overcome with negative thoughts or whatever. And then you come in, and someone calls, they have a need. Life comes out of my mouth? How is that possible? And I worship him because I can tell when it's him, not me. And I can tell, like they could tell, they weren't leading themselves. Joseph didn't say, hey, I think it's about time we go to Egypt. What do you think, my little Mary? Let's get on that camel or whatever we got, donkey. Or better get on the donkey. I don't think the camel would be good for you. Let's go to Egypt. He had no clue. That's the way I feel most of the time. I have no, you can say it. That's about me, not you. And yet he's able to get through and lead us, give us encounters to help us. You think encounters are just so you can go, woo, wow, God, yeah, woo. No, they're leading you somewhere. Every one of these encounters led these people somewhere. Closer to God's heart. Closer to fear of the Lord, closer to holy ground, closer to a better life for themselves because they were in alignment with God. He has a purpose in these encounters, not just for the woo-wee-wah. I've had some of those woo-wee-wah encounters with God, but I had to say, what's this about? Oh, this is killing your pride. No, let's say what it's really about, God. No, it's about killing my pride. I had an encounter that happened in a great big auditorium with people, and I was up front. A lot of times I'm not up front. I'm back, you know, a few rows. Let all that craziness go on in front of me. But this particular time I got inspired, and I went to the front. When people were called to the front because Randy Clark was going to pray for each person, I said, hey, I need some of that. I need some of that. I want to help people with healing. I know he's anointed in healing. I believe these things are transferable. I want to be up here to get prayed for. I get up there to get prayed for, and I'm suddenly in some kind of weird contortions in the Holy Spirit, and everybody else, you know how the thing goes? You know, you volunteer. Everyone steps back, and you're the volunteer. That's the way I felt. Like everyone stepped back, and I'm in front of everyone. You know, acting like a goofball. But I am enjoying it so much, I could care less. And I'm just like, what's this about, God? Part of it is humbling you. And part of it is that you thought that happened just to other people. And it's happening to you. And I'm getting a hold of your heart. And I came home that weekend, if I remember right, and God had given me exactly what I was supposed to do that Sunday because we got home late Saturday night. Okay, I'll do it, God. So the plan was to just kind of pray the Father's love over each person that came up. And I thought, that's awesome. And I had a little thing where they would soak kind of with the Lord back here after they passed me. Oh, that's awesome, God. Thanks for that idea. 6 hours I prophesied with visions over people in a line. It's like, I didn't see that coming, Lord. Why do you think that I had you up front working in you in a way that was very real to you? It's because then you would speak out something real for each person that came up. Otherwise, you may have stepped back from that and said, oh, I can't do that. He didn't let me know it was going to be 6 hours. But I was so humbled by that, and the oldest people in the church at that time, they went out to lunch, they came back, and they prayed for me at the end. And I cried like a baby. Because encounters change us. They're not just for the heebie-jeebies and the fun and the whoop-de-woo. And, you know, I'll let those people do that. I don't do that. Look out. After this message, you're now all responsible for what you've heard, and the Lord knows it, and He'll do what He wants to. And you might be in a very unique situation. And I'm going to laugh because I've been there. So, Father, we pray you would have your way. I don't know what kind of encounters you have for each one of these precious ones, God, but you certainly do. And God, maybe there's a person here, they've never had an encounter with you. They don't even know what I'm talking about. Encounter them, Lord. Maybe there's a person here that's never felt they've heard from Holy Spirit. Speak to them, Lord. Slide into their life like Jesus is a baby, and explode like dunamis power, Holy Spirit. While Jesus, you were a baby, Holy Spirit and God the Father had it all together, and they were causing encounters with everyone else while you were a baby. Incredible. The Godhead working together, fulfilling prophecy, empowering people with the Holy Spirit, blowing up powerful leaders and making them ineffective in what they wanted to do to snuff out your plan. Jesus, bring your encounters to your people. Holy Spirit, whisper in their hearts. And Father, if there's anyone here that needs to be truly born again to begin experiencing their first encounter with you, get them, God. Get them with your love. Get them with your forgiveness. Whatever they've had as their roadblock, tear it down. It's not worth it. This is real life. This is real life with Jesus. Thank you, Father. No tradition is as good as encounter. Jesus, no tradition is good as hearing from Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you. You're here for us today. You want to come in this Christmas time and blow up our preconceived notions of what you want to do in our lives. Just like you did at the first Christmas. People were just living their lives, minding their own business, and you crashed into their world. Father, while slipping Jesus in quietly, but everything else was going crazyville because you wanted to encounter your people. You'd been waiting, and you picked the darkest point in history to do it. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We expect from you. We believe it's best for us. We're just your kids or on the way to being your kids. And Father, you can just turn our worlds upside down either way. We give you all the praise. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. there would be anyone in here today that wants to know Jesus, I would love for you to come and talk to me. You've never met him before, or maybe others think you already know him, but you know you don't. That was me. I thought maybe I knew him, but pretty much I knew I didn't, the way I lived. And yet I wouldn't talk to anybody. So God sent someone to talk to me. And it's a good thing. It changed my life. He sends witnesses to us. Let me be that witness to you today. If you need to know Jesus, it's not worth playing the games. It's not worth missing out on what he has for you. Bless you in this Christmas season. You can leave now. Yeah, it's over.
Just a reminder, a couple things coming up. Tuesday, we're having a candlelight Christmas Eve service here. It starts at 6 o'clock, and it's done at 7:30. Come and enjoy a time to really worship the Lord. And, there is fire involved. And thank the Lord the church has survived each of those. So here's Pastor Mary Pat.
And if you can't stay the entire time, it's better to at least come. We understand. But we will start right at 6.
And then the following Tuesday, there is going to be a New Year's Eve party celebration, a New Year's Eve celebration here that Tiana and some others are kind of heading up. So there'll be some more information about that, whether there's a theme or not this year. But usually we bring a bunch of food. We play a lot of games, and we worship the New Year in just as the New Year comes worshiping it in. So it's really an awesome time. So bring food, bring friends, bring family, and really, again, a neat time to have you promote these things.
Well, I also want to just drop in your spirit, too, that we will be speaking about what's coming up in 2020 and what has happened in 2019, a lot of prophetic activity, prophetic words, prophetic release. So that is part of it. That's why we call it New Year's Eve celebration. We do enjoy family. We do have food, et cetera, et cetera, and we continue on. So it's a powerful night. And there is a plan for that, and the Lord's already speaking about that and developing that. So we hope to see you.
I'm done.
Oh. Amen. Merry Christmas! Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you need any additional information about Frontline Ministries International or Frontline Worship Center, you can visit us on the web at www.frontline-ministries.org. Or email us at info@frontline-ministries.org. Or you can contact us by phone at area code 330-837-8399.